This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Tech, show number 139, recorded on October 17th, 2013. Here at Home Tech, we cover all your favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in Bellevue, Nebraska. And, of course, we post the show with world-class show notes, and hopefully you guys have been enjoying the show notes. I've spent a lot of time working on them over the last couple of weeks to include the YouTube links. So if you want to watch YouTube and go right to the part in the show, all the links are right there. You can just click on that. It takes you right to that spot in YouTube. And we've got that all out at theaverageguy.tv. If you have questions, comments, or contributions, you can contact the show. Just send me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. You can track me down on Twitter. It's just @JayCollison, or follow the show schedule on our Twitter account, theaverageguy.tv. You can also join us for live chat during the live show right now at theaverageguy.tv/live. Right below, actually, on the live stream window. It's right to the right. I always do that the wrong way. It's that way over there. The chat window is over there, and you can join us for live chat for the show. And you don't even need a live stream account to make it work. You can just log in with a handle and join us in chat. Love to have you do it. We've also done YouTube high bandwidth option available. And let's see which direction it's going to be up. No, over that way. There we go. Up over there. And you can click on that button, and it will take you to the YouTube high bandwidth version. So you can get a little bit of better quality on the video if you do that well. All right. Well, happy Thursday night to you. Glad you come out. It's been a crazy couple weeks for me, and I just have not been around. So if you're a regular follower of the Average Guy and Home Tech podcast, I apologize for not, it's just been crazy. A lot of work travel, but we're back on track tonight, and I've got Michael Crump with me. I met Michael at Heartland Developer Conference here in Omaha. And if you want to go back and look at those, if you just search for Michael Crump and I think Heartland Developer Conference, the interview that I did with him will show up. But Michael, thanks for coming on tonight. How are you?
Oh, thank you so much for having me back again. I am doing absolutely wonderful. How are you, Jim?
I am doing well. It's good to kind of get back in a normal routine and kind of settle into things and, you know, get some normal work hours. I know you're on the road quite a bit though, aren't you?
Yeah, it's actually been very crazy for me here lately. So the past couple of weeks I have been, I went to Bulgaria for 7 days. Yeah, that's Tiller's.
Bulgaria.
Well, I went there for DevReach, and obviously Telerik has an office there as well. So I met with some of the teams there, but I went to DevReach to do a couple of sessions, and actually it one of them wasn't a Windows session, which a lot of people are kind of surprised about. So when I was there, I did a session on iOS 7 application development, but then I did a Windows 8 talk, so I kind of made up for not talking about Windows. But I've been exploring everything mobile, and so, after I came from that, I went and visited Microsoft for, some just internal meetings and stuff like that. So I was away for, literally enough that my wife was about to, slap me.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Do you have any children?
Yes, I have 2 children, 5 and a 3-year-old. So I'm really trying my best to, manage the travel. Next week, I'll actually be at M3 Conf, which is just a mobile-only conference. So I'm redeeming myself, but with a Windows Phone 8 talk there, yeah. But I'll also be doing an iOS talk. So I'm always, canceling each other out, talking about Apple and then a little bit about Microsoft.
So I sense a little guilt from you.
Yeah, there is. It's so funny. Is I start tweeting sometimes about iOS stuff, and, people are like, I don't care. I'm like, I haven't got that crowd. I haven't been able to grab that crowd yet. But yeah, it's actually fun, and really for me, I've been wanting to explore, and just understand other mobile technologies. I got into Xcode and Objective-C. I found really wasn't that scary after all. Then obviously I've been looking a little bit at Android Studio. I think we were talking a little bit before about conference upcoming. From there that I'm actually going to, and it'll be the first conference that I get to go to, and on my badge it just says attendee.
Oh, nice.
I will be so happy.
You're not having to speak there.
There's then. No pressure. There's no pressure. So I'll be able to go and actually just enjoy. I'll be able to enjoy the conference. But yeah, and so yeah, things are crazy. And then after that, it's Sweden for Oradev. And then
how do you get any work done?
You know,
you're traveling all the time, right?
It is crazy. It is really hard to get anything done. So I've been at home this week and, we'll be at home next week until Thursday or Friday. But yeah, I do a lot of work. Well, thankfully, you know, Delta has, GoGo in-flight internet. United will take care of you. And those are the two major ones that I fly on. So, I'm able to do a lot of work in the air, even though I really don't like hitting that buy button when it says that internet's like $13. For one flight. Now, obviously, when I'm going to, Europe and stuff, I don't have that option with the long haul, you know, across the Atlantic. And I still don't know why they can't get internet access.
Maybe those satellites are geosynchronous and they just stay above the United States, right?
We can watch television. We can watch the satellite television and stuff as we cross over.
But, are you saying it's a scam? Is that what you're saying?
All I know is that if I got internet on my flight when I go to Europe, and I go to Europe several times a year, and you know, even next year I'm looking at some other places that I've never been, if I was able to get internet, you know, we're already so spoiled that, you know, it only takes a couple of hours. It takes 8 hours, from like Detroit to cross the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. And we're still like, you know, we have television, we have iPads and everything. We still are complaining about it.
Because we want the internet, damn it. Bring me the internet. Well, hey, Michael, let's back up a little bit because we just jumped right into you. But let's talk about why you're doing these. So tell me where you work and what you do and kind of why you do all this.
Yeah, so I work at Telerik, which a lot of people that's kind of in the .NET space are pretty familiar with Telerik. So we're a leading vendor of UI components and tools. We also have, you know, a CMS product as well as developer productivity tools. Some people may be familiar with our Just Code plugin for Visual Studio, as well as, you know, we've branched out and we've started doing some other sort of products, such as Icenium, which is kind of a mobile, our mobile hybrid applications. And, it's one of those things. Telerik just keeps growing and growing and growing. And we have some cloud services that we're now, you know, exploring called Everlive. And you know, Telerik is just an absolutely growing company. So I've been there for a little over 2 years now. And since I've been there at Telerik, it's been an absolutely, you know, whirlwind. I mean, now they're up to, you know, I think on their page they had about 800 or so employees, and when I joined, you know, there wasn't that many, nowhere near that many. So it's just launched, and so I work primarily as a developer advocate or developer evangelist, kind of whichever word you would like to choose. I really work the most with the XAML technologies, but I'm always playing with pretty much everything, any sort of technology that I can get my hands on. So I do a little bit of, besides just .NET, you know, C#, I do, you know, some JavaScript, as well as, you know, Objective-C, like I was telling you a little bit about. A lot of different languages I get to dabble in. And I get to build some, you know, cool things. And lots of prototypes, lots of demos, lots of things like that, but on the side, I build apps, you know, as well. So I am in code, you know, a pretty good bit of my day.
Yeah. So but when you're at these conferences, I mean, right? You're doing maybe one or two a month. So are you just like developing all the rest of the time? I mean, is it like weekends and nights? And I mean, how are you handling all that? How do you balance that?
Yeah. So it really, with an evangelist role, you're doing a lot of different things. So like the day to day like process could be like working with the product teams, could be, you know, looking at, hey, what cool new feature should we be adding, you know, to our control suite next, you know. So there's a lot of things that you're kind of doing, and so when you go out to events, obviously, you know, I go out to, you know, talk and, you know, spread whatever I'm passionate about. And my talks always, you know, are changing from year to year. And, but yeah, when I'm trying to get, you know, other work done, it is one of those things that, you get to play the balancing act where, you may be responding, you know, to an email while somebody walks up and starts talking to you in a booth.
Yeah.
Or you may take that time in between when everybody's in a session and start, you know, doing a little bit of work. So yeah, I'm kind of one of those guys that I'm real passionate about it. The kids are asleep, you know, and the wife lets me, I'm definitely in some sort of gadget.
Yeah, I imagine. I'm going to ask you about your gadgets here a little bit later as we talk kind of about your home geekness. But I want to ask you, how did you get to where you're at? I mean, what kind of steps just in a quick progression got you to kind of the place where you're at? Where'd you start?
Yeah, so obviously from my wonderful accent, people are always wondering, where's this guy from? And so I always start off with, I'm from Alabama. And they're like, how did a guy from Alabama, a state that like all the only people that know about Alabama is about our college football team.
Yeah.
And that's only because they run it like a pro. So how did a guy from Alabama get to Telluride? And obviously for me, it was one of those things that I was working with their product, but I think a lot of it really started happening when I started blogging and started making myself, you know, available on like social media and things like that. So like on Twitter, it was a big one. I started tweeting, started following and absorbing knowledge from obviously people a whole lot smarter than I am. And, when I started adding that to my blog and started getting noticed, kind of everything kind of just started falling in places. So, you know, I had articles offered to me in various magazines from, you know, Visual Studio Magazine to, I just had an article last month in MSDN, and it led to Pluralsight courses. And eventually, you know, with Telluride, just led to a job at Telluride. So it's been a whirlwind. And over, you know, I can say over the last 2 years, it's been so much fun.
Now, you mentioned Pluralsight. So have you done a Pluralsight class or two?
Yes, I've got one out there right now, and it's called Beyond the Basics in Windows Phone 8. And it's available right now. And I've been actually watching the trends of how many people are watching it. And so in this course, basically talking about the four things that I thought that was kind of the most important. So most people that are playing with Windows Phone 8, you know, they do like, they look at the tiles, they start playing with tiles and looking at some of the APIs, you know, to pin information, things like that. Well, I kind of move into the other topics such as like wallets, wallets, mapping, speech, you know, things like that. Some of the topics that, I can kind of consider, you know, beyond what the guys have first started playing with.
Yeah. So. Now I'm looking at your blog. So michaelcrump.net, pretty easy to remember, right?
MICAELCRUMP.net.
And I actually see I made the blog. That's pretty nice, right?
You are on the blog. Yes. So every podcast that I have, that I've ever been on, you know, I don't actually, list them like I probably should. Like a lot of people, they put like an interview section and then they put like a speaking section. Mm-hmm. I just kind of have it all like mixed-mashed, and that's because I changed blog providers. And I just never kind of really changed it.
Jammed the whole feed all together.
Yes.
And, yeah, it is laid out nice. I like the way the date and the comment. Although I would move the comments down below the date.
You know the comments. It what's so funny is that you'll notice that on the comment section they're all zeros. And I had somebody ask me, they're like, you know, or is nobody commenting on your blog? And I was like, well, actually, I'm filtering comments. The problem is that I don't actually go in and unfilter the comments. So everybody that blogs, unless I go in and just am thinking of it, and if you go back far enough, you'll start seeing comments. But unless I go in and actually start, you know, taking that off, I would probably just remove filter. But I was having so many people that were putting like, you know, ads and just crazy stuff that I went to a really tight, you know, a tight system before it got published.
You know, it's out there, right? It works. There's people who get to it. Are you a metrics guy? Do you kind of track who's hitting your site and how often and where from and those kinds of things?
You know, I have a Google Analytics tied up to it, and I go out to that, I would say, probably once every 6 months. It's one of
so
those.
No.
Yeah, no. I don't really look at the data that much. I know if I've got a really successful blog post, or if something's doing really, really well, because I'll see a lot of retweets. And if somebody hits the tweet button at the bottom of one of my pages, it does an @mbcrump. So I know I can, you know, I can tell if somebody is tweeting from that page or whatever.
So what are you getting the most traffic around now? I mean, I know your passion is mobile, and that's kind of why I wanted to have you back on to talk a little bit about that. We just went through a huge meetup here in the community. We went out to Indianapolis. About 60 of us guys got together and did this day long conference. Microsoft came out and did. They had a whole Surface bar, and I mean, it was very, very cool. A bunch of guys bought Windows phones that day, and so I think we counted 13 or 14 new phones that day, including the 520. You know, a lot of folks bought the 520 that day.
Yes.
And I'd mentioned pre-show, but I'll mention it again if you're not if you haven't been watching. Amazon now has the 521, so that's the T-Mobile version of this. That's a really nice picture that's on there. Let's see if I can get that. Look at that. That's a nice picture. That's Colorado.
The Bing wallpaper of the day.
Yeah. No, I think this is one of my pictures. I set it to, I thought I set the background to be one of my pictures. You see, yeah, it is one of my. Anyways, doesn't matter. The 521 is now the same price as the 520. For some reason, the 521 was 130. The 520 was 100. If you're a T-Mobile guy, you go with the 521. But that's out the door. That's $100 out the door. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. Oh, before I forget, did you get your email today that they're going to offer a pretty nice voucher for us MVPs for Surface devices at the conference? Did you read that?
I didn't get that email, but I have heard about that. So that's going to be for the Surface 2. So from what I have heard, and so it would be really nice to be able to pick up a Surface 2 device. Do you know exactly how much we get off?
It's $200.
$200 off.
Yeah, it's $200
nice.
Off. Plus,
very nice.
A free touch keyboard.
Well, see, I was there at the at TechEd this year, and at TechEd they were selling Surface 1's RT for $99, and then the Pro was $249. I'm wanting to say.
Yep.
It was somewhere around there, somewhere around that price range. But I was there for TechEd, and at TechEd, you know, I picked up, you know, obviously one of each. But, you know, being the nice guy that I am, I actually wound up giving them away. But if you do have a Surface 1 device right now and you're trying to dump it for the Surface 2, I will say that Best Buy has a very good offer, and it's that trade-in program. And if you don't know about it, you can just go to bestbuy.com and look at their trade-in programs. But you can get, I think, up to $200-$250 for the actual for trading in your Surface, as long as it's in you know, very good condition. I think it's actually more than that if you have like a Surface Pro. But I know that a lot of people are kind of getting ready to get rid of their Surface Ones, so I don't blame them at all, especially the new stuff, you know, coming
out. Yeah, well, so let me ask you, if between the new Surface 2 and Surface 2 Pro, you got your eyes on any of those? Maybe you already got one in hand.
No, I don't have one of those in hand. My goal would probably be the Surface 2 Pro. Right now, for my presentation machine, I've been using. And now a lot of people are always thinking, oh, would you get all the cool stuff? But I'm using an X1 Carbon Touch. But also remember, you know, Telerik, you know, lets me pick out my hardware and things like that. So that's a really great laptop for presenting, because it has touch, it has the SSD, it has plenty of gigs of RAM. I think it either comes with 8 by default. But it's a great, great, great machine. But I've been looking for something even smaller, because I'm actually carrying usually about 2 laptops when I go somewhere. And, you know, my back is obviously not as strong as it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I carry 2 as well, so I know.
Well, then I carry multiple phones as well. So, you know, sometimes I'm carrying up to 4 phones. And when I go through security, you know, they're already looking at me like, what is this guy doing? Why does he need 4 phones? You know, because the drug dealers have to have all the phones. if you watch Breaking Bad, then you know a little bit about that.
Yeah, they've got all the different phones, right?
Well, they have to have a way to be untraced. So they make the phone call and then snap the phone Unfortunately, all of my phones are like $600 phones, and I wouldn't be snapping.
Right. And so you have them all because you're doing phone development, and then
yes,
so you're using them to
absolutely
test. Yeah. Are the emulators not good enough that you can't just run it off the emulator, or you as a developer feel like you've got to have the physical device to get a good test?
You know, the emulators are great, but there's obviously some things that they can't do at all. Like, so for example, like Windows Phone, you try to take a picture, you know, you can't really do any really decent testing with that. Now, there has been some improvements, but if you have a really powerful machine, so the machine that I'm talking to you on is actually what I call my workhorse, because it's a W520 that I've maxed out with all the trimmings. So that machine, I can actually spin up the emulator in really probably about 6 or 7 seconds, which is really good compared to, you know, my other machines. And so when you're running on really good hardware, it's hard to really test it versus when you actually have a device. So like if I plugged in the 520 and ran it on that, you know, I may think my app is awesome and is going to rock in performance, but it may be because it's been running on a really, you know, good hardware. And then when it gets to the phone, it's like, oh my goodness, where is the processing power that I used to have?
Yeah, it kind of goes away pretty fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, and also, I mean, it's always great to see what it looks like in device as well. So, I do have one of the coveted Firefox OS phones.
Really?
Yes.
How did you come across that?
I have one of those, and you know what? I had it, but I believe. Oh, actually, I think I have it. Had to drop the mic to grab it. So here we go.
I'll just edit that part out. All right.
So here we go. Here is the Firefox
OS.
Huh? Now this is the developer preview phone. So I think they have it on their.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
Yeah, it's that. So the phone actually looks like this, and I have a blog post that you can check out. That's on my blog that talks a little bit about it. And you know what? Since I have taken this thing back off of the charger, I think it's already dead again. But it's a really sweet device. You can put an SD card inside of it, and with the SD card, obviously you can expand your storage. All of the apps are actually just HTML5 based apps. So it's a really, really sweet phone. And so how I was able to acquire it is I know some people that works at Mozilla, just like, you know, always networking.
Sure.
So I have a friend that works at Mozilla that I asked him, you know, would he be able to send me a phone where I could go ahead and start playing with it and seeing what it looks like. And also it kind of completes my collection.
Yeah, so you've got them all now at this point, right?
I believe so. The other ones I was actually a little bit more prepared for. So the 920, which everybody loves.
Yeah.
And then,
have you ever thought upgrading that to the 1020?
I have, but the thing is that I really, the money, it would really just be spent for the camera.
Yeah.
The camera upgrade. So, I'm not going to buy it. And actually the same way with the other device, which is the iPhone. So I have the iPhone, 5. And so obviously I could put my thumb down here at the very bottom and pretend like it was the 5S for the thumbprint. So yeah, I'm also in the same boat with the iPhone. So the 5 does absolutely everything I could possibly want it to do. The 5S, you know, obviously just has the 64-bit processor, which there really isn't any apps that's going to make use of that right now. I think there's only one or two that's even in the marketplace. It does have a faster chipset and a couple of other things, but the fingerprint reader, I don't really need. I don't mind punching in the PIN number. And you know, a lot of these gadgets, you know, I'm buying them with my own money. You know, obviously, you know, I can get someone with the company and stuff, but, you know, I do have to have a reason to upgrade. I don't always just buy the latest tech.
It's tough because they're coming out fast. I mean,
they are.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm waiting for the now I will be buying the Nexus 5 because it has KitKat, the latest version of Android on that, and I even have some legacy phones here. Pull out my pull out my old school Dell Streak.
Oh, good heavens.
Yeah. See, I was kind of prepared. The Firefox phone I didn't have, but the other phones I had
now
available.
That Streak is actually bigger than the Firefox phone, isn't
Oh,
it?
Yeah. It's crazy big. And believe it or not, I used to actually carry this thing in my pocket. So if you look at the difference, I'll just kind of put them, you know, like that. You can tell, you know, the difference in those two.
Right.
I used to carry the Streak with me everywhere, and this was running, I think it was Android, like 2. One of the earlier versions. I can't even remember. 2.
Honeycomb?
But it was.
Was that a honeycomb?
Or it may have even been the version before that.
Gingerbread?
Yeah,
gingerbread.
Was gingerbread after honeycomb?
I don't know. I get hungry whenever I think about the things. That's it.
Froyo.
That's,
was that it? Froyo?
It could have been Froyo. Yeah.
I think it was running that version, and it was really kind of crappy at the time, but, you know, I carried it around. I thought it was just so cool at the time because I could put, a 16 gig, SD card in it. And I would be able to, or mini SD card, whatever it was taking, and put just drag and drop MP3 files, and it would actually play them. And back when that device came out, that was kind of like the cool, you know, the cool factor, you know, nobody was able to add that kind of storage.
Okay,
they had
so
just enough of them.
You've got the Nexus 5 coming up. What are you running on Android right now?
Yeah, so right now it's the other version of the Nexus, which was like the heavier Nexus. Okay. Nexus. What was the one before?
Four? The four?
It may have been the four, but I was thinking it may have been the one right before that one. That one I actually do not have on me at the moment because that is loaned out to a friend for some of his testing. So I think maybe he's had it for too long.
Yeah, if you can't find it and you can't remember when you gave it to him, it's probably been out too long.
But yeah. I have been using Android Studio. So I was using Eclipse before to develop for Android stuff. So I have been using Android Studio, which is still like in this crazy weird beta versions, like a 0.01 release, I think was their first release. But they've updated it since then. So I've been able to use that. The emulators are still super slow. There's a couple of ways to improve them. But it's been one of those things. I've been kind of into, you know, pretty much everything. A lot of Windows Phone and a lot of iPhone lately.
I'm going to ask you about the Windows Phone here in just a second, but I want to come back around to the Firefox OS.
Yeah.
Why?
Sure.
Why?
That seems to be a question a lot of people ask.
Yeah.
And I wish I actually had it charged, where I could show you a little bit more. But you know, on my blog, like I said, I have some links to some pictures. And by the way, they did not ask me to ever. I mean, they didn't say blog about it. They didn't say any of this other stuff. They just gave it to me and said build apps. Firefox was deciding that, you know what, we want our apps to be HTML based. Obviously, you know, they're pushing through their browser. All of that is all pre-installed and ready to go. Every app that you run on this thing is just an HTML5 based application. And, you know, the operating system, it gets instant updates. So I don't believe that they're going to go through like carrier updates. That, like, you know, even like Windows Phone has kind of been hit hard with waiting for carriers.
Yeah.
I believe they're just going to push theirs down to the OS.
But do they even have a carrier at this point?
No.
Okay.
There's only a couple of places to even buy one, and you really can't buy one because they're not really ready for general release. But there is a couple of places that I've seen that would sell you a developer phone, but I believe the final hardware, because what I've got, obviously, it says developer preview, even like on the very, very back of this thing. Until they get to the hardware finalized, I don't think you're going to see these in stores anywhere. But yeah, that's just another one to compete. And, you know, BlackBerry is already struggling. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. The mobile wars are on at this point. I mean, they are on and they're in full swing.
Yeah, and I think we're really down to three at this point. iPhone, Android, and Windows is trailing, obviously, although their market share is beginning to pick up, and they're making some inroads in some places. That's well documented on other shows, so we don't need to dig too much into that. But I know you are you're big into Windows Phone development, and I have to ask you the same question. Since you develop on all three, what's getting you excited about Windows Phone development? I mean, what I know, and maybe what's your MVP in first? I never ask you that.
So my MVP is actually in Silverlight, and it's been in Silverlight. And obviously, I was probably going to be moved over to client app dev this last time, but I was renewed in July, which was right before the client app dev opened up. So that program opened up after I was renewed. So I think that they can move you over, you know, mid-cycle or the next mm-hmm. cycle or whatever. But it looks like to me that a lot of the Silverlight people are moving over to client app dev. Obviously, I'm trying my best. You know, I'm doing what I love, and if I was able to get into the Windows Phone program, that would be absolutely great. The Windows Phone MVP or the Dev MVP. But the way I've always approached the MVP program, you do what you love, you do what you care about, and the rewards come. And
I totally agree with you. In fact, I just remembered Dave, who was telling you they moved over to the Windows Experience. They just moved him, I think, onto the Surface team.
You should
lobby. Make sure you lobby your MVP rep. And I'd even send an email and say, hey, what do you think about? Because I think they're pretty flexible on that right now. It's not, you know, I don't think it's hard and fast rules.
They are pretty flexible. The problem, I think, with the Windows Phone group is that they are a small group, and it's a little bit harder to get in. It's a little bit harder to get into that group because they're a very small group, and I think they want to keep it that way.
Yeah. Well, let's hope not. Let's hope I'll start lobbying when we're
fingers crossed.
Yeah. When we're there. Well, let me go back to my original question, and it was we talked about Windows Phone development. I'm going to throw this site that that actually during the conference somebody I don't think it was you, it was another guy, but if you go to apps.windowsstore.com/default, that is a process you can start building your Windows Phone app online. And I actually built one and deployed it to my phone. I should show folks what I did here. It's not very good, but
this is the app maker.
Yeah, this is the App Maker.
App Studio, I believe.
So this is kind of cool because you don't really have to have any.
Yes.
You don't have to have any experience. And I know. I mean, you're a code. You know, you're a code guy, but you don't. This is like. So I created. Let's see if you can see this. This is what I created. Let me lock down the screen, folks. Okay. And I just pulled in an RSS feed for the average guy stuff, and there's the YouTube page with a description of the. You know, of the podcast and some, there's the audio files right there if you want to watch home tech on your phone. Now, yes. This is, I built this, right?
Yes.
I did. Yeah. It's kind of cool. Oh, yeah. And I think if I click here.
Yeah, it should open up YouTube.
Yeah. And then this is really hard to do when a camera should turn.
Yeah, it'll flip over and it'll automatically launch.
Yeah. So again, with no, there we go. And there's the, I built that app off that site, right? I mean, pretty simple to create my own. This is the average guy app. Now, it's not in the store, right? This is private to me.
You built it and deployed it to your device.
I did.
And do you know what's even really cooler about that is that app that you built, the next release of Windows Phone, which is GDR3, you can actually download the latest operating system onto your phone right now for absolutely free. You don't have to wait for any carrier type of thing. And it's Microsoft. It's all completely supported by Microsoft. So people that use App Studio or have a paid developer account is able to upgrade to the latest operating system without going through the carrier.
So I can do that on my 520?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So how do I do that? We should talk about it.
I'll tell you. There is an app that's in the store that all you have to do is download the app. And I was looking at the live stream, and the answer to that is yes, it is free. And so there's an app that's in the App Store, and maybe we can put that in the show notes.
Sure.
And all you do is you download that app, you log in with your credentials, your live ID, and then you're able to download the update.
Nice. All right. I'll have to give that a try.
Very, very sweet. So, yeah. you can go to the latest operating system like right now.
Well, my goal has always been I'd love to have my own app for Windows Phone for the network, right? So someone could come in, and actually this is the beginning of it, and it didn't turn out exactly the way I wanted it to, and so I scratched it a couple times. But I literally built that in an hour. I mean, it was in, built, done, deployed, bam, it's done. So pretty easy. But the kind of development you do on Windows Phone, how do you do that? Because it's a lot different than building it here, right?
Yeah, so what I did use is obviously Visual Studio 2012. And if you look at my blog, you'll see, you know, I'm definitely developer focused. Most of my talks are developer focused. So I use Visual Studio 2012, and then I have downloaded the Windows Phone 8 SDK. And obviously, I use our own tools because we build UI components that work with Windows Phone. So and I'm on that team, so I might as well fully embrace all of the stuff that we've added. So I really use those three products: the SDK, our tools for Windows Phone, and then the Visual Studio 2012. Even though Visual Studio 2013 came out today, and I downloaded that one, I launched it, but that's as far as I've actually got. I had the preview, so I had checked it out. So when I build those apps, obviously, it's according to what I'm building. The couple that I have right now that's just in the marketplace was stuff that I was building kind of for me. Treadmill Assistant was one of them.
I think I still got that one. Hold on.
Yeah, Treadmill Assistant was one of them. It was one of them. It was back to where, it's time to, lose a couple pounds. So, I was looking for a good app, and I'm actually going to make a really cool update to that, coming up. So, so this is the app. And so you can do things like, chart your runs. You can click on any of those dates. You can tell how many miles it took. Just click on a date, or just punch on.
Okay.
Just click on one date somewhere. Yeah. And so you can, log your runs, and you can save them. At the end of it, you can look at charts. You can export the data. This right here, where it says, miles ran today, that's one of the controls that, we built, at Telerik that I'm actually using to do that. So yeah, I absolutely love playing and building with this. This was just a personal app. I didn't even put an ad in it or anything like that. And the people have been, I've gotten a lot of great, feedback from it. But the thing is that I really haven't done much to update it. And, I have a log in there of what I've updated and things like that on the about page. But again, I've been doing so many random things. I haven't updated it like I wanted to, but, I have some cool stuff in store for that app. It was mainly features that I wanted. And that kind of helped me stay motivated at the gym.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good one, because some of those, with the app progressions, like Fitbit and some of the Endomondo and Map My Run and a few of those other ones. Those apps, after a while, they started simple, and then they add and they add and they add and they add and they get
exactly.
super complicated, right at the end.
Yeah. Right now I use the Fitbit app, and I use Fitbit, but I found that I'm not so faithful at keeping it on me at all times. I probably need to switch to the actual wristband that they have, because I think I would actually keep the wristband on versus the tracker, which is what I currently have. You have to use the belt clip type of thing to keep it with you, and it's just kind of hard to kind of just manage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the development of that, so you're in Visual Studio,
yes.
is it all C# then? And
yes.
How sophisticated do I need to be from a developer standpoint to be able to do that?
Anybody can get started. And there's actually a lot of great Pluralsight videos on getting started. And there's Windows Phone 8 jump starts. So no, I use C#. You're not tied to using C#. You can use Visual Basic. If you would like to as well. So the two main things that you're going to need to know a little bit about is XAML, which is going to be the user interface of the app, and then C# or VB is the two primary languages that people use to develop apps. Obviously, you can get a little bit lower level if you would like with some of the other app types, but most people are using managed code such as C# or VB.
And that Visual Studio Lite, right, is free?
Visual Studio Express.
Express, right.
Yeah, if you're using Visual Studio Express, you can actually build a complete app, for Windows Phone, And as long as you pay the registration fee to Microsoft, $19.
That's it?
They've dropped it to $19.
Holy, I thought it was $99, right?
It was $99, and they just dropped it to $19. Now, Apple, I pay them every year, and theirs has never changed. They've always charged $99. Google is $25 forever. So you pay one time, and you have access forever to the Android store. So I've paid my dues, and I had to new up again. Actually, being an MVP, you get a free Windows Phone developer license anyway for 1 year. Yeah,
I did not know that. I'll have to activate that.
So your MSDN Ultimate account that you've got, you can actually grab a key that will give you a 1 year license for free, and you can use that not only for the Windows Phone, but they also will give you a code for the Windows 8 store as well.
Oh, I gotta go. It's been nice talking to you. No, say I get a store, get accepted to the store and I can submit. Can I take this app that I created off the site and just migrate that right into the store and make it available if someone wanted my dream would be to have a podcast app, right? So the network would have an app and you wouldn't have to ever do anything again. You'd click on the app and all the shows, both audio and video, would be available.
Yes. So the app that you created, the final package is called a ZAP, a ZAP file, which is what Silverlight used back in the day. And so it's just a ZAP file. It stands for something like, Extensible Application Package is what I believe it stands for. One of those things I can't think of, but it's something like that. But it's a ZAP file, and you actually submit that to the store. Once you submit that to the store, you just log in and put, who you are, publisher, contact information, things like that. And then you select which markets. And then if you want it to be paid or free, obviously you would want it to be promoting your podcast.
Yeah.
So you would put free and you would put to all markets. And then anybody would be able to download that app that has a Windows Phone device.
Yeah. So I guess let me throw it out to the listeners. We got quite a few, not just live, but that download this every single week. Send me an email. Let me know if you're using Windows Phone. Let me get a feel for if I got that app out there, would you actually try it? If you've got a Windows Phone, because I think that's something it's already set and pretty much ready to go. That's out there. It's on my phone. I just would need to move it up to activate it, move it up to the store, right, and make it available.
And what's even great is if you didn't want to release it to just the public just yet, you can get their email address and send it to them as a beta user. So only they could download it.
Do they have to still do that thing where they load the security key or the...
No.
Okay.
No. So any end user, all they would have to do is you would go to the portal and you would upload your file, your ZAP file, and from there you would enter in the beta names. So you would enter in a couple of people and then send it off, and they would get a link in their inbox. They sign in with their Live ID, which they already have to have a Live ID if they have a Windows Phone anyway. So and from there they can download the app. Now the betas expire after 90 days. So they have 90 days to basically try your app and to play with. So after those 90 days, if you get positive feedback, or maybe you want to cut it off, the midway mark, you could just go ahead and release it to the public.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. So if you are interested in maybe beta testing it for me, send me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv or jim@theaverageguy.tv. Either one of those work.
I'll beta test it for you.
All right. Well, maybe you can help me get that thing all
get
all
you to the next
up
point.
In the store. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be great.
It's no problem.
Could I also then, what would it take for me? Okay. So say I create this and I get it working and it's the way I like it. I know there's some tools that would allow me to maybe migrate that to Android and iPhone as well. So what would I need to do to kind of, big overview, but what do I need to do to get there?
Yeah, so there is some tools that will allow you to make the app. The app that you've currently got, there's really no, iOS uses these things called storyboards, and they obviously are using Objective-C. So it would be a little bit more difficult if you were porting that. More than likely, there is App Studio creators for iOS and Android that you could actually build that same app that you've got and except for you wouldn't be using, you know, your Windows Phone version, but you would be using another website and doing a similar thing, and that way you could target iOS and Android. And really, it's 100% worth it. I have a MichaelCrump.net app that's on Android right now. It's really old. And, I mean, it's so old that I don't know why I even leave it out there in the store. It's got me when I used to have, like, a beard and everything. This was back in the Michael Crump promo days. And I decided to put an app in the Android marketplace because they were really picking up. And, you know, I'm not even sure how well it works today, but I know that I put it out there and people downloaded it, and I was very surprised because I didn't think anybody would care.
Yeah.
But
what I'm looking for isn't that difficult. It's just basically a podcast app that is specific to me. So audio, your video, maybe a place where you can choose to download the video if you want to. I'm encouraging everybody to stream it just as much as they possibly can. You know, YouTube does a great job of streaming that. You saw how fast that came up on my phone when I showed that.
YouTube was lightning fast.
Yeah, it just works great on the Windows Phone. I'm surprised. I know there's been a bunch of talk about the Windows Phone and YouTube app being blocked on the Windows Phone, but with the problems between Microsoft and Google. But it still works YouTube still works on the phone. Let's not get that wrong. You can click on YouTube and watch videos.
Yes, yes. And a lot of that is you know, it's just little battles back and forth. I mean, Apple has had the same thing with Google over their maps. So, I mean, you know, these are little, like, mobile wars that always seem to tend to pop up. And if you're one of the three bigs players, you know, Apple, Google, and Microsoft, I think these things will happen from time to time, and you just can let them just deal
like
with
it.
Them.
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I'm like, bring it on. Let's scratch. Let's
play. Yeah, they'd love to do that.
Somebody had said, I think it was the guy or somebody in the chat room, that, you know, Microsoft really isn't making any progress in the phone market. And, you know, you mentioned BlackBerry. The big difference between Microsoft and BlackBerry is BlackBerry doesn't have any money, and Microsoft is printing money. So they can lose money in the Windows Phone space for a long time before they decide, you know, to do something different.
One thing I think that matters a lot about this is if you go back and you watch WWDC videos from Apple that happened back over the summer, and Tim Cook, he's actually was born and raised here in Alabama, believe it or not. And he lost his accent when he lived in California for 20-something years.
You should stop apologizing for Alabama. There's some good tech there.
No, I kind of like it. It's kind of fun. No, I love my state. Everybody everybody likes for me to play poke at him a little bit. But in that video in the keynote, he actually listed Windows Phone as the second most obviously. Apple was number one in terms of customer satisfaction, but he listed Windows Phone as second, which was above Android and BlackBerry. And you know, that says a lot that, you know, Apple, at least, you know, they're looking at the stats of customer satisfaction, and Windows Phone users are happy in general. The things that I think that they're not happy about is the available apps that's in the marketplace. Yeah. But rest assured, Microsoft is putting a lot of effort and energy into making sure that changes. And, you know, I noticed that today, for example, you're starting to see, you know, before the Facebook apps that were in Windows Phone, Windows 8 or whatever, those were built by Microsoft. And, you know, today, I believe it was announced that, or I know that I went and I looked up the Facebook app on Windows 8, not on Windows Phone, but on Windows 8, and the publisher was actually Facebook. So, you know, Facebook is looking into this stuff. And you know you've made it, you know, when you're starting to get the really big guys. And I can't stand Facebook, even though I have an account. But but when Facebook says, hey, we're building an app native to your platform, that's usually a very good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I think the next couple of years will be pretty interesting in the space. What makes you excited about Windows Phone? What makes you excited about a Windows Phone? I know you were touting it when we were together at the developers conference, but what gets you excited about it?
Yeah, so I did a workshop while I was there, and I think a lot of the things for me is that, so, you know, you look at, like, you know, I've had iOS 7 since the very first beta. And so when you look at, for example, the start screen on iOS, you have this really bland top of start screen, and you have just a bunch of icons, and these icons really don't mean anything to you. And then, you know, you look and you open up maybe your Windows Phone, and you start seeing like this is my start screen, and I have, you know, things like these live tiles. So you notice that these icons are no longer, these are no longer static icons, but, like, you know, they're personalized to me. So, like, obviously my wife is somebody that's really frequently that I call, and she's got a picture in her profile that links to my son. So it's back to that personalization of, you know, hey, you know, these tiles, you know, are displaying important information, and the people that are the most important to me are highlighted. Whereas, you know, in the Apple world and the Android world, you can do similar type of things, but you don't really get that experience, I believe, that you get with the Windows Phone. And also, as far as, like, developing for it, it is heaven. Developing for it and building for it. Microsoft has made it so easy. And so when I've been developing other apps for other platforms, and, you know, obviously I'm already coming from a .NET background, so it's going to be easy anyway, or it's going to be easier for me anyway. I found that just the amount of vast resources and learning materials out there that's available is just absolutely wonderful. Really anybody to get started. And I mean, there's a great book that's like 101, it's back for Windows 7, 101 Windows Phone 7 apps. And this guy walks you through building 101 different types of apps. And there's two books. I don't think the second book got published just because of something, but there's a first book that's out, and it shows 50 apps being built from scratch. And it was very easy how he was building them, and things have gotten even easier in Windows 8. So, yeah, I guess I'm passionate about a lot of variety of things, from, you know, the tiles to the improvements to really, you know, some of the stuff that, you know, is rumored that we'll be getting next year. So with the next version of Windows Phone, the next, as I'm hearing them calling it.
Very cool. The guy in the chat asked this question: what's your favorite hardware, Samsung, HTC? What do you like from a hardware perspective, or do you even care?
From a hardware perspective, I have had an HTC, but the one that I use and the one that I love is my Nokia Lumia 920. I have not upgraded this, so if you were listening before, we were chatting a little bit about the 1020. I think that was before.
Yep.
And
yep.
That one has an absolutely great camera, but I can tell you, this 920, I have had this before they ever released them. I stood in the line at Build for 3 hours for this phone. And was handed it, and ever since, it has been a rock solid phone. I've had it with me everywhere. I've dropped it. I've, you know, done everything that I possibly could do to it. The screen is still absolutely perfect. You know, it takes great pictures. So I'm a big Nokia Lumia fan. And obviously, you know, I do a lot of stuff for Nokia. I have on my Nokia developer shirt. You can see that.
There you go.
Nokia developer shirt. So I'm a big fan of them. I'm doing a couple of webinars for Nokia at the end of this month. So yeah, I guess I probably could beg them for the 1020.
They probably give you one if you just asked. You know?
Yeah. They probably would. I guess I'm just kind of satisfied with what I've got.
Yeah, it's the same platform. I mean, unless you're taking a lot of pictures with it, there's not much difference. GDR, okay, so I may have the terminology wrong, but GDR3, right? That's
GDR3.
The newest. That's
GDR3.
The new. That's the newest, and that just came for your phone, right?
Yeah, so that's GDR is basically just general distribution release. I got that one actually right. And that one you can only get right now if you get that app that I was telling you about.
What's the name of that app?
So I have to actually go back and find it.
Tell you what, we'll do it. We'll do it in the post show.
I can't remember it offline.
So are you telling me I can upgrade my phone to GDDR3 tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so
you can.
Save that for the post show. We'll do that. We'll walk through that with folks and do that in the post show. Michael, you had said you had a question for me around the 520. So I want to make sure you get a chance to ask me that.
Yeah. So my question is the 520 and the 521 have an SD card?
They do.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Have you put one inside of it? And if
no.
you
No,
see that kills the second question. I was wondering what your experience was, or maybe, you know, anybody that, you know, maybe listening, you know, what their experience has been with, maybe storing podcasts, different types of media and things like that on the SD card. I've never had a Windows Phone 8 device that had the ability to have an SD card. So I've never been able to actually play with it. And that's what actually, when we were talking before, I was thinking about buying one to actually plug in an SD card.
Yeah, just go buy a cheap one, right? Let me throw that up there. Hold on. So you can see the slot for it, right? Right.
Yeah,
below
I can see the slot.
Yeah, that's just in the back. Just kidding. You know, I just pulled the cover off. It's still on, by the way. I probably shouldn't
have
done
that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that, but I did. So you can see, and since I got the phone, I just haven't had a ton of time to even get to the store to get one. I mean, they're $30 or something, right? It can't be. So I need to, you're gonna convince me to go out and get one and throw that in there so I can talk about it.
Well, so, you know, and the thing is that, you know, throwing some music, you know, putting some other, you know, stuff on it and seeing how well it accesses it without actually, I guess wondering what the performance is like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny is that, you know, you're telling me about, you know, how cheap the other device is now. So now I need to actually just buy one.
You do.
Instead
it's
of wondering
bucks.
About it.
It's, you know, it was the, it, sometimes I buy tech stuff and I buy it guilty. You know, I'm like,
I'm always like that.
I really shouldn't have this thing. You know, I can't believe I'm doing this. This thing was a no-brainer. I mean, I didn't feel guilty for a second. I'm like, oh, $100, bought it, done. It is such a good device for just $100 that just by itself, it you know, and it gets me in the Windows Phone ecosystem. I'm an Android guy by, you know, that's kind of where I'm at today.
You've been using Android for
I
a
have
while.
Been using Android, and I'm a lot in the Google space, and the Android phone works well for me. Not saying it's better than the Windows Phone. It's just for what I do today. If I was going to go to Windows, I'd go to a 1020, right? And then I would switch everything.
Yes.
You know, and I would, yeah.
It would be over with that.
Yeah. I would make it work for me. And there's just some shifts that I'd have to do. Now, full caveat, I'm a pretty simple user, right? I don't change a lot of things. I don't monkey with stuff. I don't add a lot of backgrounds. I kind of make it super simple on myself. So I think for me, switching between any of those phones would be pretty easy because I just don't ask a lot from my phone.
Yeah,
know?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And it's one of those things, a lot of people that are on Android, you know, that I talk to and I talk about what's preventing you from moving over. Instagram was something that a lot of people were talking about that they wanted. And, you know, while I use Instagram, I don't really ever promote, you know, Instagram or anything like that. There's Instagraph that's on Windows Phone that you can use, because right now there isn't an actual Instagram application. I'm just looking on my phone to make sure.
And
that's
what I've noticed a lot with the Windows Phone is they've got a lot of knockoffs that aren't
really. They aren't the real thing, as they say.
Well, here's what's weird to me about that. And Tim's got some questions from chat for you. I'm going to read those here in just a second. But here's what's weird to me about that. When I'm on Android, I have no problem downloading that crappy software that comes from some knockoff guy that does something weird, right? When I'm on the Windows Phone, it feels dirty. Right? I'm like, oh, I don't want to defile my phone with, you know, I treat the Windows Phone differently than I treat the Android device, you know?
Yeah. And so like, now I do look for third party apps. It's strange because like for Twitter, for example, I actually care about Twitter and, you know, I use Twitter every day. I use it for my job. I use it for information and I use, MoTweets. For my Twitter app, but I don't use the official app. Now, I have multiple SIM cards, so I do carry around an iPhone with me at times. And on that one, I actually used the official Twitter app because I found it really good.
It is good.
And I mean, and it's, you know, it's the same kind of thing. It looks very similar to like the Android version. And it's, mm-hmm. it's just a solid, rock solid app.
Twitter is super consistent across all three platforms, right? I mean, Windows Phone, iPhone, and Android, the Twitter app is nearly identical. I mean, you can really get it on the phones, and the exact same swipes and behaviors do the exact same thing. And I like that. Good job, Twitter, for doing that.
Well, and then the other thing is, talking about going back to the knockoff type of things, Fitbit, for example, on Windows Phone, it's back to one of those dirty type of apps. Because, like the one that I'm using is called Fitbit Companion, and it's not built by Fitbit. It's, somebody that just tapped into their API and kind of ran with it from there. Whereas, when I'm using my iPhone, obviously they have a Fitbit official app that works with Bluetooth. So, it will sync that data automatically for you. So yeah, there's right now, I think the big issue is getting the rest of the apps over to the phone. I think people really do enjoy the phone, and Delta, if you fly Delta, you will notice that the people, the flight attendants, are actually using Windows phones to charge people if they want to, like, order extras and things like mm-hmm. that while they're on the flight. And, you know, I know everybody's mad because we all want to use our mobile phones on an airplane, and they say we can't do it, but they can.
Although they're not messing with them until they get to 10,000 feet either.
Exactly.
So I watched them. We were on American when I was coming back from California, and they're using Samsung. They got to be Notes. They're big. They are huge. Big. I took a picture of them. They do the same thing. They're swiping and, you know, selling stuff, and that's how they keep track of the manifests, and they're looking stuff up on those. And so with in-flight Wi-Fi, why not, right? They can get all the latest gate information and all that stuff right on there.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it makes absolute complete sense to me to use a phone. And also, you know, I ride in cabs, you know, quite frequently if it's somewhere that I'm going that there's really no reason for me to be driving. When I was in Seattle, I think it was last week, you know, where I was at, everywhere I needed to go was in walking distance. So when I was actually ready to pay, they pulled out a device that clipped into their iPhone and, you know, were just able to swipe your card, mm-hmm. you know, directly from that. And those same sort of devices are moving over to Windows Phone right now. I've seen news articles about them starting to build those same sort of devices for Windows Phone, where you can start checking people out with that. And we even have, you know, some like local ice cream shops that, you know, it's kind of a mom and dad's type of shop that, you know, they're just using their mobile phone to check people out. So
yeah, no, my daughter-in-law owns a salon here in town, and until they got their credit card processing system set up, they used just their phone to swipe it. Now, there's some pretty crazy fees for that. So it's not the most, while it sounds great, those companies that are doing that, it's a little expensive for the vendor.
The software is typically free, but you pay for the hardware and you really pay for the transaction.
Yeah, you pay. That's where you really pay, is in the transactions.
Yeah,
so,
the transaction.
Cool. Yeah, well, it sounds cool. If you wouldn't want to run your business on that, because you're paying them 4 to 5%, where the average, you know, if you're using somebody else, and Mike Howard would know better, he does a lot of this for Waffle House, but I think those fees are a little bit less for some of the bigger companies if you're going through a regular credit card processing.
Definitely less.
Well, let me cover this question. We'll bring this part of the show in for a landing. I like to try and keep it just over an hour.
Okay.
And then we'll stay around for post show. You're going to help me upgrade my phone while we
do it
here in the post show. Real quick question though. Tim Black, he's got both the 920 and the 820. Those both have GDDR3 that were pushed out from AT&T. And so, right, his phone is updating. He's saying he doesn't have to have that up to update because he's already updated his phone with it.
If the carrier has released GDDR3, and you can actually tell by the version number. So now I can't tell you the version number off the top of my head, but if you go into your phone, for example, and you go and you click on, I'll just do it. You click on the little settings screen, and then you scroll, and you go to where it says about, and you click on the one that says more info. You'll see OS version. And so GDDR2 we'll have something that is similar to 8.0.10328.78. That's GDR2. And if you're having GDR3, it's going to be a number that's higher than that, obviously.
So mine says 8.0.10327.77.
Yeah, and that 77, you know, I did a blog post on this because there was a lot of confusion. Even that 77 could still be GDR2.
Okay.
But you definitely are not on GDR3.
Okay. So we've got an upgrade to do. So any difference between using the app and what the carriers pushed, or is it the exact same thing?
The apps, yeah. So one thing that to keep in mind about this is that if you're using like a Nokia device and things like that, Nokia has a feature called Glance. I don't know if you've ever heard of that or not, but so this is what my phone is looking like right now, and this is called Glance, and I've got it set to peak where you see the time down there at the bottom. Actually, the time is way off because I still have this phone set to Eastern Europe, but if I click on it again, or so like right now it's a completely black, and then if you like basically put your hand over it, it'll start showing again. Those are Nokia apps, and those apps are not going to be included in the GDR3 release, because those are apps that are specific to Nokia.
But that Glance feature is GDR3.
No, that Glance feature is Nokia. That's something that they built.
Okay.
And they put it, they wanted to be a little bit different, obviously.
Do I need GDR3 to make Glance work from Nokia?
So in order for that feature to work, you have to have a Nokia phone, which you do.
Yeah.
And so I don't think you're, actually, I think that you may already have it in the current release that you've got.
Yeah.
So if you click on settings, and you scroll all the way down to the very bottom,
okay.
Do you see something that says, and I'll just put it up here at the top. Do you see something that says Glance down at the very bottom?
I have touch and display, and that's it.
You have touch and display. So
yeah.
I've got access point, audio, storage filter. So Glance is the one that's at the very, very bottom.
So I don't have that available on
my
phone.
So if you make sure that you are actually updated, you can just click on your you can go back to your settings, and you can click on phone updates, and then you can click on the button that says check for updates. And see what it says there.
I think it'll say I have the most recent version, but I don't have AT&T service on this. Remember, I did not activate this on AT&T yet.
It's not activated at all, correct?
Correct.
That may be why.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
So.
I really couldn't tell you because I'm not sure. This one is activated.
Yep. So I may have to force it, in other words, to get it to.
Yeah.
And Tim is saying he didn't get Glance until he got the GDR3 update.
Okay, so when he got the GDR3 update, he got Glance.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know I had it with two.
So hang around. Okay, so hang around. We're gonna upgrade the phone. We're gonna see if we can force that upgrade onto the Lumia 520.
Let's force it.
Let me bring this podcast in for a landing, and that way, if you are listening to the recorded version, you should come out and join us live Thursday nights, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, because we stay around for some post-show and do some crazy stuff like force updating phones and those kinds of things. Just kind of depends on what's going on in the podcast, but you can join us live each Thursday night. I'd say 50 Thursday nights out of 52 as we get together and talk about anything that we want to talk about. Join us out here live. I will I'll remind you as well, you know, since we talked all phones tonight, if you haven't found a way to automatically download your podcast through it, I'm going to create an app here eventually, but until that gets created, give Stitcher a try. If you haven't tried that out, Stitcher.com, available both for the iPhone and Android. And do you know a Stitcher on the Windows phone? Michael, do you know
Stitcher?
Stitcher?
I couldn't tell you.
Tim Black can answer that for me. Tim, do you know if Stitcher is available on the Windows phone? I don't think it is. But
I'm actually looking for it.
Yeah, take a peek. Stitcher is a great way to listen to the podcast both at home and on the road. Our podcast, both here, Home Tech and Financial Tech, are available on Stitcher. It doesn't download to your phone. It just streams, which is kind of nice. Save you a little space on your phone. Stitcher.com, search Home Tech. We say it's education for your ears. And just as a reminder, you can also find the podcast over at Spreaker and Podomatic, Audio Boo, and iTunes. We're in the Xbox Marketplace. basically wherever podcasts are aggregated, we are at, and you can get that done automatically. Any update on Windows Phone? See Stitcher at all? I don't think it is.
No, I didn't found. I wasn't able to find it.
That's okay.
So it's not there.
That's all right. So, but if you're an Android or iPhone guy, you can make that work. You can also view and subscribe to the show on YouTube. We'd love to have your iTunes or your YouTube subscriptions. I'm actually in a little bit of a contest with Mike Howard right now. He's kind of cleaning up on me, but if you haven't subscribed to us on YouTube, head over to the channel. Just go to theaverageguy.tv/YouTube and you can just hit the subscription button and help me catch up to Mike Howard so I can get a few more subscriptions from you guys as well. And YouTube doesn't really spam you. So by subscribing, you're not going to get that much more email. It'll just tell you, I think it sends you an email whenever I post something new to the page. Don't forget, we have groups both on Facebook and that's theaverageguy.tv/Facebook, on Google Plus, theaverageguy.tv/Google. Do you see the trend there? And don't forget to use the Amazon. All right. Let me say this real quick. And so Michael, hang on one sec. The Amazon link from you guys has just been blown up and I totally appreciate that because we roll all those dollars back into the Tech Scholarship Fund. And actually I've got two new things coming up for the Tech Scholarship Fund. I just purchased a Wi-Fi hard drive for Nathaniel Lindley. He's going to test that out as kind of a mobile hotspot hard drive for his car. We've done that before with other devices, but this Western Digital hard drive is like $90. Really promises some things with Wi-Fi, and we just kind of wanted to give it an average guy try. Some of the things we tried before were some odd products that you couldn't find. This is a real market leader in Western Digital, and so Nathaniel's he should probably have that in the next couple days, and he'll write a couple posts on, can you take a Wi-Fi enabled hard drive, drop it in the car, and then let the kids play their movies from their iPads and their phones and all that other stuff. So he's going to be trying that out. And then we are also looking at both the Nest smoke detector. We've talked about the Nest thermostats for a while, but Gordon has asked, hey, I want to look at the Nest smoke detector. And then actually Sarah, my wife, she wants that little doorbell that's Wi-Fi enabled. It's got the camera in it and a whole bunch of different features. And you can check who's at your door from your phone. So we got some things coming up on the Tech Scholarship Fund stuff that if you're interested in testing something out, the way it works, you just send me an email, tell me what you want to check out. I have the money, I'll buy it for you. We'll ship it to you. You write a couple posts, come on the show and talk about it. And then you get to keep, sounds like a pretty good deal. Michael, doesn't that sound like a good deal?
That sounds like an excellent deal. I think I would do it.
It's going pretty well. It only works because you guys click on the Amazon link. You go to theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. This has been a record month for us. So I appreciate that. If you don't want to buy things at Amazon, but you want to help out the scholarship fund, you can also click on the donation link out at theaverageguy.tv. Jim Shoemaker did that as well. We appreciate his donation to the fund. It sounds like a real fund, doesn't it? It's doing pretty well. It's been good.
Doing good for the charities.
Yeah, I love it. I love to buy stuff for guys and let them test it out. And we just
that's awesome.
Just last week, we had the MK908 Android, mini Android PC device. You know, they're just the little tiny devices. They're about this big and they got Android
on
them.
Very sweet.
And Kyle Wilcox reviewed that. And so I like it because it gets the guys and gals, hopefully we can get a few gals, involved in the community. And so I appreciate that as well. Again, theaverageguy.tv/Amazon. Michael, thank you for coming on the show. If you're listening to the recorded version of this, this will end it. Come on, join
us. It's been awesome.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. And I'll thank you in advance. You're going to stay around and help me hack on the phone a little bit and get the upgrade going in.
Absolutely. I just posted a link to the chat window hopefully some people are able to see it.
Yeah, very cool. Come back and join us next week, next Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, here at theaverageguy.tv/live. Good night, everybody.